Hey, everybody, I'm Paul Yeager. Welcome inside the MTOM podcast studios here at Iowa PBS, which is where this originates each and every Tuesday. Subscribe where you get your podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. We do a video form of this. And today, we are going to be looking at the fields of Pennsylvania. Lance Sensenig is a return guest, kind of a theme we've done here in 2021, revisiting some old friends. Lance is going to drop a couple of bombshells, and he has saved them just for us. Let me see if I can tease without giving it all away. Something about him personally, something about him professionally, and one other thing that I'm just not even going to tease. We are going to be discussing how his life has changed since November of 2020 when we first chatted. His career has changed in the sense of where he works. That'll be one of the items. I think some of you who follow him on Instagram or Facebook know some of the changes that have happened, but not everything. So that is what is inside this week's MTOM Show podcast, which again, if you have any feedback for me, send me an email, paul.yeager@iowapbs.org. Now, let's go to Pennsylvania and talk to Lance. Lance, I tell you what, you're a hard guy to keep up with, and I guess there's a good reason. If I've missed a bunch of stuff. Let's just cover the basics. You're still in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Still involved in agriculture.
Yes, I'm still involved with agriculture.
But that's about it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So kind of, you know, my life has been kind of crazy the last couple, since May 7th of last year. So
of 21?
Yes, of 21. So I made a big jump from the grain industry, working for my dad, managing a big grain facility that's just like a couple miles away. I'm like 5 minutes still from the station. So switching from that, and I came across an opportunity on buying a farm. We'll just pivot just a little bit. I don't know if any people can see down there. There's my farm. Just a quick little flip around.
Nice.
But I'll go back to back to this position. Bought the place, trying to get it figured out. So I learned, you know, I had been crop farming before with my dad and brothers, and then, you know, started storing grain, you know, working with Purdue Agribusiness. So I learned the farming side, the Purdue Agribusiness. And then one of the reasons why I got into this and was actually eligible for this is I knew the farming side, and then I knew the agribusiness side. So they were kind of looking for somebody that had agribusiness knowledge, but zero knowledge of chickens. So I'm farming about when we put the chickens in, roughly about 39,000 chickens. They lay eggs, and we collect them every morning about to lunchtime, and then it's just day after day after day, and you never get a break.
Hens don't stop laying eggs.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Absolutely true.
And it's different from dairy because you only have to collect once, except in a dairy you have to milk twice. So there's you're almost to dairy status.
Yes, exactly. So like with the chickens, one thing that's about the chickens is they lay an egg in the morning every single day, you know, starting roughly about 5:30 in the morning. And they're done about lunchtime every single day. Dairy, you have to do it twice or three times a day. And you can kind of move the milkings around. The chickens, they don't move around. So, like, I used to go to church every day on Sunday. That is no more. I have to do something in the evenings, like you're, which is weird. Everybody does. If you do eggs, you don't go to church on Sunday morning because you literally can't do it, not unless you have somebody else work for you.
Well, now in the era of all these churches that stream, you can listen to your church while you're working. How about that?
Yeah, actually, and that's something we've been doing. Here's another bombshell. I'm going to drop this real quick. I just got engaged, and actually, this is the first place that I've announced it. I haven't done it on my social media yet.
Whoa!
My family doesn't even know. So I saved it particularly for this. So my followers, the people on your guys' station, you're seeing it for the first time. Actually, my fiance, she announced it on her social media platform and all that stuff. But I just got engaged. So now going to be getting married in the future here or whatever.
Okay.
So that's another one of the bombshells. We got a lot more bombshells down the road. But yeah, that's one of the new exciting things.
Well, Lance, first, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And when you, and for us to pick, this is probably the biggest news we've dropped on this podcast in its 6 years of doing it. So, I mean, you're a big deal on social media. So that's pressure. Now all of a sudden I have all this inside of me going, how do I keep this a quiet from the time we record to when we drop it next time?
Yeah, and it, I think really, you know, it's kind of a really special time in agriculture. You know, even though with all the negative stuff that we have going on in the world, just, you know, think about this for a second. You know, yesterday was February 7th, John Deere's birthday. And another one of the things is, and this is another one of those bombshells, Kathy, I forget what her last name is, she made it on the cover of the Shoups catalog. Her and her family. And I might be getting an autographed copy from her particularly. She's going to send it to me in mail. And she's like, this is so ridiculous. Why am I signing a catalog? And I'm like, because we're farmers and we're on social media and we're just like, I'm going to hang it on the wall. And like, maybe, you know, 20 years from now, I'll sell it for $100,000 to somebody. I don't know. I just told her, I was like, you're going to autograph a copy and send it to me. But huge congratulations to Kathy. Sometimes my social media and the farming community is not necessarily all about me. It's about the other people that are involved with it and the milestones that we make. So just seeing Kathy on the front cover and seeing their story, gets me excited. That it's what I live off. I live off my own excitement, then excitement of the other good things that are happening in agriculture right now.
Well, and that's how we first connected. I think it was social media. And I think the last time we talked, we discussed how cool agriculture can be when it comes to social media, makes the world a little bit smaller. Do you still find that that's an okay world to be in?
It's a hard world to be in right now. Me and like a few of the other guys out there on social media, I've been kind of like trying to hibernate as much as possible, but still be present, interact, just because I don't actually post a lot anymore. I post now here and then, you know, when I can, but I mostly stick to my Instagram story. And most of the reason why is, you know, it lasts 15 seconds and in 24 hours it gets deleted. So if I mess up in 24 hours, nobody can find it anymore. But just someday, and you know, that's actually one thing I was thinking of. It's like, I know this question's going to happen on the podcast today. So I was like, how do I answer this question? The best way to explain it is it feels like, and I think the last Toy Story movie hit it the nail on the head of, it feels like Forky is the new norm. He's running constantly to the trash can and you have to go rescue him. I mean, everything that's happening in Russia, everything that's happening in Canada, South America, and you look at it all and it's like, it's just crazy. It's like constantly going to go that we have this new character in the story of agriculture and nobody really knows what to do with it. It's just absolute nuts. He's made out of he's half fork, half spoon, and he's got two glue eyes on it. And he's like constantly running towards trash and he actually thinks he's trash. And it's like back in the day, we all had characters. We all had platforms. We all had stuff going on. And it's just a really crazy world we live in these days.
And I think your most recent post before we recorded this was poking back at someone. So 2022 for me has started with revisiting with some people I've discussed and chatted with over the last couple of years in doing this. Amanda Nigg was one of them, Farm Fit Mama. And all of a sudden I see this post and I'm like, okay, I kind of recognize that. And then I flip, wait a minute, no, that's not Amanda, that's John. And then I read the caption. Is that where... I mean, I'm not saying that it was Amanda that was throwing shade at you, but I mean, trying to have fun and show personality kind of comes back to, it doesn't always translate to everyone. That's unfortunate. Is it unfortunate for you?
Yeah, well, let me share the backstory to that, which is really hilarious. It's kind of something that we started way back in the day and then kind of got shut down because, like, as far as, and a lot of comedians have actually come forward recently and say it's really hard to make content because everybody gets offended and has issues with what it is. I'm kind of one of those, I hate saying this, but I'm kind of like the unfiltered Joe Rogan of agriculture. Like, it's just blasted out there. And I really try not to. That's why I've tried not posting a lot of stuff, is because, like, I know I'm going to get myself in trouble with a lot of this stuff. So way back in the day, we were doing impersonations, and Amanda approaches me and says, "Hey, I want you to do," like, we were copying each other's pictures, so reenacting a picture. So we do two pictures, and your picture would be on the front, and you'd swipe over, and you get to see the other picture on the other profile. Amanda pulls me aside and says, "Hey, do one of my pictures." And I was like, "Ah, I don't know, like, how do I do Farm Fit Mama, all that stuff?" And I'm like going through my head of what I possibly can create or do. So finally, you know, I find the picture that I used, and I'm like, okay, I think I can actually pull this one off. There's like a corn silage silo on the one corner. There's the barn, and I've got grain silos and everything like that. So I go ahead, and I actually went to the store to buy those particular tight pants that I had on there, particularly for the picture. I never owned one since then. So we were doing a lot of challenging, poking fun. So I said, okay, you know, I'm going to do the picture. I took the picture, everything, got it, and I send it over to her. And she's like, "Do it, post it, do it." I'm like, okay. And like, without thinking of the consequences, I just posted up there. I'm like, cool. All of a sudden, just the post takes off like crazy. We're sharing on our stories and everything. All of a sudden, I get a phone call from my dad, and then also another one from Purdue saying, basically, take it down or you're fired today. And I'm like, oh, darn it. Maybe we crossed the line. So I approached Amanda. I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. I don't want to lose my job, but we got to take this down. So, you know, she was like, oh, that's cool. I understand, you know, everybody wanting culture. And this is a common thing in agriculture. A lot of farmers, if you work for a big company and you put the wrong thing up, or you say the wrong thing, or it gets taken the wrong way, you know, you could lose your job possibly. So like, I pulled the video down, everything like that. I apologized to everybody, like, hey, everybody that we offended or anything like that. It was all jokes. Like, we weren't trying to cause problems or anything like that. So that passed, cool, everything. I didn't really care. It was just like, it was fun for a little bit. And then we took it down. Like, when I have to take content down, it doesn't bother me at all. So a couple to present day rolls on, I'm like, get back to thinking. I was like, I don't work for that company anymore. I can't really get in trouble. I can't get fired from that company. I don't even have to talk about that company, you know, and I'm really just completely disconnected. So I'm like, I think it's time to put it back up again. So I go ahead and put it back up, and Amanda, like, sent me a message right away, and she's like, I had a feeling that there was some day that you were going to be able to put that post back up. And she's like, I couldn't wait for that day. So we got it back up there, we shared it on our stories, and it's just, you know, it's just, and actually this was kind of funny because this happened to me before, back when I worked out west. We weren't allowed to share videos of content, you know, tractors getting stuck and stuff like that. And back in the day, once I got off harvest and wasn't associated with them anymore, didn't have any contact with anybody, we put some pictures up of some stuck tractors and some of the stuff we did. Nothing to shame it, but I think, you know, we're constantly getting to a more and more sensitive world. And I'm trying hard not to offend everybody, but at the same time, you know, we're still trying to have fun and be humans.
People get sensitive, and there's a group of folks that think we've already crossed that too sensitive, and they're fine with being a little blustery. And mm-hmm. I'm always amazed at how that is an issue for some people, and and it's too bad that it happens that way, that people get bent out of shape. You've dropped a couple of bombshells. Let's save a couple of those in a moment. I want to first wrap up the chicken story before we get to the bombshells. Are you okay with that as a tease?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right, let's go to the chicken thing. Your fiance, that's bombshell one that you've dropped. Is she helping the chickens? Is she okay with all of this?
Yes. So it's actually kind of weird. So she is actually originally from Colombia, which we kind of connected just because I had spent some time way back farming in South America with my dad. So, you know, I don't know how to speak Spanish, but I know terms, I know terminology, I enjoy the food, I enjoy the culture. So we kind of met each other and started going out, and she's still learning English. She got here a month before I bought my farm. So we hadn't met right away. So we met about 6 months ago, roughly. So we've been dating and things kind of one thing led to another. She actually comes and helps me. She actually is a host mom for two doctors. So she lives in the extreme clean world. There's no chickens. It's in a development. But she comes from a third world country. So her coming here, being around the farm, for her is a huge relief just to get away from all the pressure of the world. And also one thing, we have an egg packer and it takes probably about 2 weeks to learn how to run this thing. I knew right away that I was like, we might want to keep this one when she learned how to run the egg packer in one day. I have not yet seen one person that can walk in, learn how to run the egg packer and get a straight pallet in one day. I told the company that I work for that she learned in one day, and she's like, you better keep her because, like, if you lose her, you might not get another one that learns how to run the egg packer in one day. So she loves it. The only thing, she's a little scared of the chickens. She's like, you need to get me over the fear of chickens. Like, because just, you know, when people see chickens aren't necessarily the house pet. They kind of fly around. They claw you. They scratch you. The roosters sometimes will peck you. They're not the nicest animals on earth. So she is a little bit scared of the chickens, but she loves packing eggs and she loves being around the farm. And she doesn't mind the smell either, which is another plus.
Okay, John, does this mean now that you're in the chicken business, you've got somebody that can help, you got crew, I'm not going to say regret, but do you have any hesitation of leaving corporate life for self-employment life?
So that was one of the big tricky things. So when, you know, I switched from, like, I didn't work for Purdue Agribusiness, but I was working for my dad. So basically I was in charge of the whole entire place, managed the whole entire facility. And, you know, I took one of my bosses at Purdue aside and, like, hey, you know, kind of let him know, was like, so do you see any future in this for me? And he's like, not really. He said, so you're going to work an 8-to-4 job, a 9-to-5 job, and you're going to go at the end of the day and just regular employment. He said, there's no really future. He's like, you do this for the rest of your life and you don't make that much money and you don't have anything to show for it at the end of the day. So I decided, hey, you know, it was kind of the writing on the wall. It was time for me to move on. So I went and actually a friend of mine at Purdue, actually I had three bosses at Purdue. I had a conventional boss, organic boss, and I had a soybean boss. So the one conventional boss actually got me an interview. And the coolest part, he probably thinks I hate his guts, but I still really like the guy just because the interview didn't work out for us. And no hard feelings. You don't make interviews sometimes. But he got me an interview with managing headquarters at Purdue Agribusiness down in Salisbury, Maryland, which is kind of like winning the lottery. You don't get an interview to do that. So I was extremely privileged to go down there. I ran through the interview. I didn't make it. I wasn't, one of the reasons is I wasn't 40 years old and I hadn't worked with big audiences before. There was like 50 employees or whatever. Would have loved that opportunity, but just didn't quite make it through, which I'm really glad I didn't make that interview, because if I would have made that interview, I would have kind of fell back into the same shoes that I already was in. A month or two later, one of my friends, who was actually my youth advisor since I was a little kid, knew him ever since I was a little kid. He's a real estate agent, called me up and said, hey, there's this farm for sale. Are you interested? And he just found out about it, was calling me on the way from the farm to his office. And he said, hey, if you're interested, I would jump on it. So I jumped on it the day of, locked the place in. And it was actually from a guy starting like me. I don't have, when you, let's just be honest. If you, when you start, you have no money. There's no way to save up money when you're working a regular job. Taxes are expensive. You know, when you're a male, a single male in the United States, and you're, you know, within the 25 to 30 range, your taxes are extreme. You're not going to be able to save up much money. So I didn't have anything to start with. So I did three banks with financing. So we did the FSA, Citicorp, and First Citizens. So I had three banks, real estate agent. It was really, really complicated. And I learned very quickly, as soon as you get into the real estate, you know, equity world and banks, everything's cutthroat. If somebody, the gloves come off, I mean, there is no loyalty. I met so many criminals from May 7th till now. I mean, people that you wouldn't even expect. I always thought like bankers and insurance people and, you know, those kind of people were like legit. But a lot of really sketchy stuff went on between now and then. So and what the funny thing is, I had insurance. We got insurance lined up the day before closing. The insurance guy backs out on us and says, hey, we have to postpone this for another week, which if you're an insurance guy, you don't do that. You don't back out last minute on insurance. So I stayed up until 9 o'clock. I found another insurance guy, and then he stayed up all night till the next morning getting me insurance for this place. So I've always said, I'm religious. I'll just put that up there up in front. You know, it might tick people off. I don't care. When things are going to happen, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, thy will be done. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. And I'm okay with that. So it pulled through. So I think I'm here for a reason. And hopefully we have a bright future.
Thy will be done. Yeah, I haven't used that line in a podcast, I don't think, yet. So good. Glad we had that, Lance. You've also given me three other possible topics or episode names for this episode. So maybe we could do Thy will be done as. But when you were just talking there, it made me think of the old Garth Brooks song. Sometimes you thank God for unanswered prayers. And if you wanted that one job and you didn't get it or would have gotten it, none of this would have been possible. So I think we'll tie the Lord together in two of these parts of this discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. And like when I didn't make that interview, you know, I understand you don't make every interview, which I applied for like 100 more jobs at Purdue and a bunch of other different grain facilities, and just nothing was working out with me. And I wasn't depressed, but you know, I wasn't happy because it was like we basically at that time when I was trying to get a job, there was unemployment was like, they were trying to hire, like there was just everybody was trying to hire you. And I was like, I can't get a job to save my life. You know, I can't even get a job cleaning toilets, and I'm filling out every interview that I possibly can. I told a lot of the guys, and like, I'll do anything, just, you know, as long as I'm getting paid and, you know, as long as I'm making money. And there was just nothing available. So I think, you know, a lot of times when we're so focused on this is what I've got to have. Sometimes that's not always the plan.
All right, let's get back to these bombshells, because we could discuss the chicken business all you want. I guess one last chicken question. Why eggs versus something else? Is that just something in your region that who you're working for, I guess? Is that how that happened?
The eggs, right now the egg market, I'm debating whether I should share this or not. So the egg first off, in our area, if poultry houses come up for sale, it's kind of like, it's not like winning the lottery, but if you get the chance to do it, you might as well jump on it, because it's kind of like one of the higher agricultural income. You got a set future, you got a contract, it goes year in, year out. Whether you're doing, you know, egg laying, you know, whether you're doing broilers, pigs, veal calves, it's just, you want to get into that just because it's something that you can do, and then you can do crop farming on the side or some other thing like that. So hopefully I don't get too much guff for this, but here's another bombshell that we're going to drop. And I really, really hope this is one of those things when I mention is like, and so the company I work for, I'm not going to disclose who they are or any of the other things or whatever for this. And please don't, if you're watching, fire me. But we actually produce, embryo eggs, which is kind of like, you're not supposed to tell people that. And hopefully I don't get a lot of trouble with that. But basically we produce embryo eggs for, the flu vaccine, which everybody right now is probably flipping out. And really, if you really think about it, you know, if I'm producing eggs, either you eat the egg or the egg saves your life by putting a needle in your arm, by preventing you from dying from the flu. So that's one of the things. And let's be clear here. It's not the COVID vaccine. It's the flu vaccine. And I have no idea how they do it. All I know is that's where the chicken eggs go. And we do use a lot for human consumption. It's just as needed if they need the eggs for the flu vaccine or not. But it's, you know, and this actually, the point that I'm going to bring up is why people should kind of be okay with this is either you're okay with eating eggs and you're a Republican, or you're a Democrat and you want to be vaccinated. So you have to be okay with one or the other. And another thing is people are like, well, we could make the vaccine other ways. You can, but it doesn't really work using the egg is pretty much the best way to do it. And you have to use eggs. Eggs are in everything. Eggs are in all the products you use in the store. Even if you're vegan and you are against killing any animal, you use eggs, whether you like it or not. They're in all the products that you already use in the store, even if you are so-called vegan.
And trying your best to avoid any of those animal products. It's next to impossible to find something that's pure, without any additives of any kind, specifically processed food. But then you'll say, well, I'll just eat all the kale. Or I'll just eat. But you got to have a balanced diet of some kind, and you have to have protein of some kind.
Yes, exactly. And I saw a video clip the other day. It was one of the famous Western shows or whatever, where is like these vegans, and I'm not picking on vegans. You know, my sister-in-law and husband are vegan, which I have no problem with. If you think vegan is good for you, go ahead, do it. You're eating plants. That's part of agriculture. I am pro vegan, but at the same time, I feel it's unfair when vegans attack the rest of us that have, you know, other opinions and stuff like that. The clip was basically, he said, you know, he's like, you know, you're killing innocent animals, this, that, and the stuff. And he's like, he said, have you ever ran a plow through the field? He's like, do you know how many animals you kill when you plow a field to make vegetables? And they would say, well, no-till everything. Trust me, farming, yes, is good for the environment, but there's no way to farm without killing animals. And everybody says, well, I could have my little garden in the backyard. Yes, you could, but it's just, you know, there's no way to take the population of people that we have smashed in cities and feed them all without having a farmer. It's just impossible.
Do you want to go down that rabbit hole and discuss large urban areas, and maybe we need to pry some of them out back into the rural areas?
That's the hard part. I hear a lot of people say, you know, if something would happen, you know, where would you go? To be honest with you, I hate saying this, but South America is a great big jungle. and there is a lot of vegetation and a lot of, like, at least, and I haven't been there for a while. It's been since I was 13 and I'm 28 now. People can do the math in between. So back then it was just, you know, millions and billions of acres that were unsettled. There's a huge frontier. There's places down there that nobody has set foot for who knows how many years. So, I mean, there's a lot more room on Earth than people think. Is it a good idea to disperse everybody out of the city? You're going to have a lot of problems with that too, because, I mean, you're taking up, you push everybody out into the country, starting to take up a lot more places to grow food. For instance, actually right over here, we're just going to pop over here for a second. Right there is two subdivided lots that I bought with the farm. And the reason why I bought those is because I don't want anybody buying those lots and building houses, because they're going to complain about the smell of the chickens, the flies, farm in general. And then on top of it, those are two less acres that can be farmed and crops can be grown on to feed people. So where do you draw the line at? It's hard to say. There's a lot more to the earth that needs to be developed, but at the same time, it's a double-edged sword. It's really a double-edged sword. Do you just kick everybody out of the city, or you just keep on smashing them into the city, because if they come out and destroy our agriculture, then we can't even feed them? Population control. I don't think that's the answer either. Also, the same time, you know, our population keeps on growing. And to be honest with you, I tend to, you know, I hate saying this, but I'm starting to get a little bit more green minded, not necessarily because I want to go green. It's because if you can save money, a penny saved is a penny earned. For instance, I'm putting in solar panels this year, which you mentioned solar panels. Doesn't matter who it is, or Democrat or Republican or whoever they are, they're going to get offended. But if you say, hey, you know, I got an electric bill, it's $1,000 a month, and PP&L, the company here, says it's going to double within the next year, what should I do? Everyone's going to say, well, maybe have you looked into solar panels? But if you say I'm installing solar panels, oh, solar panels don't work. That's the dumbest idea in the whole entire world. But if you tell them what kind of problem you have. And also, we're going to drop one more bombshell. I ordered, and I don't know if it's going to work. Let's hope it works. I ordered a brand new F-150 Lightning Pro. The thing is, it's cheaper for me. I've crunched the numbers, and I've had thousands of people say, no, it doesn't work, doesn't work, doesn't work, doesn't work. It's cheaper for me to buy a brand new pickup that's electric and use solar panels to power it than it is to drive my present day pickup, buy a pickup and burn gas. I'm not saying it's the right decision, but I feel like if somebody out there like me doesn't start and try it, we're never going to figure out how to be more efficient. And, you know, if I buy the stupid thing and it doesn't work, it's an idea that didn't work, and I'm going to sell the thing, scrap it, whatever. It's an idea, didn't work. We learned something. We learned that electric pickups are not the way to go.
Just a couple of weeks ago, on the lead into one of our stories for Market to Market, was that exact news of, you know, the Lightning sold out, or they're going, you know, there were two electric vehicles that we discussed from major truck manufacturers, GM and Ford, both had news. And then I just read a story and I shared it among my boss and another guy who covers energy for us on the show. And I said, what do you think of this story? And it talked about someone who said, I used to be all for green energy. I was all for wind and solar, and now I'm nuclear, which means this guy's probably getting paid by nuclear. Whereas he goes, I admit I was getting money from solar and from wind. You know, the wind argument is all about, well, you're killing birds. And then the counter is, oh, but the birds you're killing are the same as a cat. Well, but what type of birds are dying? Is it the eagle and the condor? Well, I guess not the condor, but or just simple doves that the cat is getting. Those are two different types of birds. Okay, so wind is out. Now we get to solar. Well, what do you do with the big panels when they're done? Well, I have a neighbor in my suburb here that has it on his house There's not a ton of neighbors that are doing it yet, but I think there's going to be more if he can do it where he's at. Does a giant solar farm in California make sense to sell the power to you in Pennsylvania across 15 states? But does a solar farm in Pennsylvania make sense for you? So it gets back to the original discussion of, say, ethanol or any other renewable fuel was, it might not make sense for everybody in the country, but it makes sense for you in your neighborhood. Do you agree?
Yes, I would definitely agree. I think everyone's situation is completely different. I mean, I use a lot of electricity. So if I would just have a house and be using electricity all by myself, it wouldn't make no sense. It wouldn't pay for itself. There would be no sense in doing it. I'd be throwing my money away. But the amount of kilowatts that I use on a regular is so much, I need something to dampen that huge usage. And that's when you can really make solar panels work. And also, you need a computer. You need a computer to monitor the system. There's sure. people that put them in, and they don't have a computer, and you lose money.
I suppose. Okay, are you going to use the solar panels on top? Is it only for the truck and some of your house, or are you going to put up enough to help in the barn?
So basically, the end goal is, and we're not sure how yet we're going to get there, but the amount of panels, I would like to put them on all the roofs of the chicken houses, which would be great, but the problem is mounting them on the roofs of the chicken houses, they're not at the correct angle, which I think is crazy, but at the same time, that's what they tell me. They're like, it doesn't work on the roofs that you have. So they're actually on a base mount out in my yard, and that's supposed to cover about 50 to 75% of my electricity, depending how much sunlight we get. So the end game is we want to be able to cover 100% of the electricity that we use here, but not produce any extra. The problem is people put these systems up and they try to sell electricity, and PP&L, the big companies, they don't want to pay you for it. Nope. So as soon as you're sending electric out, you're losing money. So the idea is to basically be self-sustained, and then we want to install enough batteries that we can be able to go about 2 weeks off the grid and not use any electricity and just use all our own solar and store it in our batteries and be able to fluctuate back and forth. Whether it's possible to do, I kind of doubt it, but we're going to give it a shot and we're going to try set high expectations and get, acceptable results.
Okay. Well, looks like we'll have to chat again a third time to find out what happens with the solar panels, the lightning truck, the marriage, the chickens. Did I get fired from this company? Did I do this? And who did I upset this time, right?
Yes, exactly.
Do we have any other bombshells? Exactly. Did I cover it all?
I think that the bombshells are pretty much out. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones. The future of agriculture and the positive that the world has, everybody, I think right now, is too focused on the negative, and they're not seeing all the positive stuff that can come down the stream. I get mad every single day because I see what everybody else is doing and what everything else is happening. And I'm like, there's gotta be a better way than what people are doing. I'm hoping that this podcast, this video, can really encourage people to look to the positive side. When somebody gets negative, or, you know, we're constantly, as people, attacking everyone and everything. And I think that's really a problem. We got to go the other direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how can we create positive things, and how can we stop attacking each other? We have, you know, Russia, Canada, protests, you know, shortages, blockages. And it's like, my thing is like, why can't we just go back to the way things used to be? Nothing really changed other than people got crazy.
Did they? Did they really just get crazy? Well, yeah, I was going to point that out and say, are you subconsciously trying to tell me something with your choice
this
there?
This is not supporting Carhartt or not. Or like that, you see both people, they take two stances, either burning the Carhartt, cutting the tags off, or saying, hey, I paid good money, I'm going to keep my Carhartt. And it's like, who cares? You know, I feel if I'm a company and I'm going to require all my employees to wear masks, get the shot, whatever, I think you should have the freedom in America to do that. But also at the same time, as an employee, I think you should have the freedom to say, hey, I don't want to get the job. Personally, I'm not vaccinated. My girlfriend hates it. She's vaccinated. And she's like, you've got to get vaccinated. And to be honest with you, I'm okay with getting the vaccine. The vaccine, all it is a dead virus that you're putting in your body to keep you from getting COVID-19. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, it gives your immunity a little bit of a disadvantage because it hasn't actually physically been able to get immune to that disease. So there's two sides to it. I don't think either side is wrong or right. But at the same time, you know, I guess the thing that I have such a problem with is, you know, we have to make everything about politics. I mean, yes, we need to have politics. Politics are important, but we don't have to turn every single subject into politics. It's sad. It's like I talk about the wind or the grass or the corn. All
or the sun or the solar or the egg exactly. And what it's used exactly. for. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Lance, I knew we were going to cover a lot of ground. We did. And I'm so glad we were able to connect and get an update. And that's what's been fun about how we've started here in 2022 is revisiting with old friends just to kind of check in on them. And I'm glad we did this.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get too far shut down, one of my next goals that I'm really trying to hit on hard is I'm trying to get on as many podcasts, shows, stuff like that. I want to use my social media platform, but also I want to get on other people's platforms just because it's not really for myself. I'd like the discussion of things. Actually, one of my goals is this sounds hilarious, and I'm not supporting Joe Rogan in any way, shape, or form, but I think it'd be cool to get on his show. So if Joe Rogan, if you're watching this, I'd love to get on your show. If I don't, it's no big deal. I'd like to set high goals and probably we'd get on the show and he'd be like, so what do you want to talk about? And I'm like, I'm just glad to be here. but yeah, that. And also I had to put it on hold, but I'm trying to write a memoir right now about my story about what I've done up to this point. I had to put it on hold because it's really expensive writing a book. So that is coming in the future. So hopefully you guys can get to read a book about me. And also that's another thing. There's actually a few other guys. I kind of started with the idea and shared it with a few of my friends. And there's actually a few of the other guys here on Instagram and social media that actually have wrote memoirs already. And I tell you guys, they're good. Go get them. The one guy he works for Tillamook, dairy farmer, TBF hard farmer or something like that. You guys can go look him up. But he's got an amazing memoir. Go ahead, you know, thumbs up, great content.
All right. Sounds great. Lance Sensenig, thank you so much. Good to check up with you again.
All righty. Thank you all for watching.
If you like any of our episodes, if you don't like any of them, or if you have feedback, send some comments. markettomarket@iowapbs.org. Join us each Tuesday for new episodes, whether it is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. All three of those versions or locations carry a version of this podcast. We'll see you next time.